Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning to you online. If you're watching online and you're able to, just type good morning back. I'm listening for it right now. Gotcha. All right. Glad you're here too. Listen, as a church family, we connect with intention. I was listening to Pastor Lacey give us some guidance during the middle of the worship journey this morning about our intentionality. And I just want to say I agree wholeheartedly that nothing great happens by accident. It's usually a reflection of something that we're intending to lean in and connect with God for. So my hope is wherever you're actually worshiping with us, whether you're at home or you're at a Starbucks or on the road in a hotel somewhere, whatever you're happening to be worshiping this morning, that you would actually carve out some time and say, God, for the next half hour, 45 minutes, I'm 100% yours because I want to sense and feel what you're saying to me. I don't want to just hear something. I want to receive it. How many of you know that when you get an aha, it changes your whole experience? There's something about knowing something and then something about knowing something. When you know something mentally, it helps guard your ignorance. When you know something experientially, it changes your whole life. And so I want to just start this morning by sharing a couple of things that happened along the way for me that really rocked my world in exciting ways that won't mean a difference to you at all, but I'm going to share them because I've got the mic. This is probably when I was about 20 years old. I was out with a friend of mine, and we were drinking coffee. It's long before Starbucks, so we had to go to a truck stop or McDonald's. That was the only option. And so we were at a truck stop there in Rockwall, Texas on I-30. And he ordered coffee and I can't remember what I had now, but I said, you know what, I'm going to try coffee because at that point I'd not become a coffee drinker yet. And it always looked good, it smelled good and all those things. And so I watched him prepare his coffee and he put a pack of sweetener in it and a pack of whitener in it. And he would stir it up and he'd drink his coffee. And so I thought, well, that looks great. So I think I'll do the same thing. And so I did. I ordered a cup of coffee for the first time in my adult life. It was awesome. I felt so adult. I put a pack of Sweet Low in it, a pack of creamer, and I stirred it up and I started sipping it. And I thought, it's not too bad. I think I'll have another one. And I probably downed about 4 or 5 cups of coffee that evening about 8:30 at night. And I thought, why is it taking me so long to discover this delightful experience? I was flying like to the moon. It was awesome. And so that was my introduction. So my introduction to coffee was with a pack of sweetener and a pack of creamer in it. And so I'll pause the story there to say that one of the odd things about my own journey as a childhood, I would read ingredient labels. I know, it's just riveting reading. And so I know that in my childhood, Heinz ketchup was made from red ripe tomatoes, natural sweeteners, distilled vinegar, salt, onions, and spices. It was long before high fructose corn syrup was introduced. But anyway, I knew that. And the reason I knew that is because I would read the labels. I also knew that Sweet and Low contained saccharin, which is known to cause cancer in laboratory animals. I don't know why I read those, but I just did. And so I've read all kinds of interesting, riveting reading, which makes me such an exciting pastor to listen to every Sunday morning. I can just tell you're leaned all the way in wondering what I'm going to talk about next. So anyway, back to the coffee story. So I discovered coffee, and it was such a great experience, I decided I would have more. And with any other addictive substance, you just have more, and you have more, and you have more, and it became a lifestyle for me. So coffee was a gateway drug, I think, to just life itself. And so then I ended up finding my wife. We got married. And then along the way, when you're married, you typically have children. And so we had a child. And that was Pastor Lacey, who was leading you through the middle of the worship journey. Well, in the mornings, I would actually drive for 30 minutes from west to east into the sun to work at Compass Bank. So I would first stop right out of the driveway of our little apartment was a 7-Eleven. I would stop and get a cup of coffee. And I figured out that if you put the Sweet and Low and the creamer in it before you put the coffee in it, it would stir it for you as you poured it in. And so I thought, I'm really smart, so I would have that big cup of coffee with my Sweet and Low and my creamer in it. And I would drive to work, and it would keep me awake. And when I got to work, I would celebrate getting to work with another cup of, you guessed it, coffee. And I'd put a pack of sweetener and a pack of whitener in it, and I'd stir it up as I poured it in and I would drink it. And I got the awards for selling the most accounts at the bank. It was just a great day. And so all those things. And then just after lunch, you'd get the little droops. And so I'd keep myself awake with, you guessed, another cup of coffee with a pack of sweetener and a pack of whitener in it. And I'd stir it up as I poured. And so then about 4:30, it was time to start getting ready to go home. And so I thought, I'm going to be driving now into the west, which is going to be back into the sun. I'm squinting just like I was squinting this morning. So I'd have a pack of sweetener and a pack of coffee in the bottom of my cup, and I'd stir it up and drink it. And by then I was like, man, it's a great day. And I'd make it all the way home. And that was my routine. And I was so excited because I figured out how to beat the droops as I'm driving into the sun both ways. It was just amazing. I felt very accomplished until one morning. It was the mid-morning celebration cup of coffee when I was opening my pack of sweetener that it dawned on me, this is sweet and low. And all of a sudden, what I had read as a child and somehow memorized as a child, that this substance contains saccharin, which is known to cause cancer in laboratory animals, it dawned on me, I'll have 5 of these before I'm done for the day. And it just clicked for me, and I thought, this is terrible. So I threw that cup of coffee away and poured a cup of black coffee. Because I for sure am not going to drink any more sweet and low, but I'm going to have that coffee. And do you know, in an instant, I developed a taste for black coffee. It was awesome. And it was all because I had an aha. Now, I'd known that saccharin causes cancer in laboratory animals since I was a kid. But I would drink it over and over and over and over and over. But it's when it dawned on me what I was doing that actually changed the way I was living. So this morning, as we get into the Christmas season, this will be some of you, this will be your 12th Christmas season. Others, it'll be your 45th Christmas season. For some of you, it'll be your 60th Christmas season. And so you'll hear a phrase, "'tis the season," and it's like, yeah, I've been there, done that. I've got the t-shirt and the package, and I've actually re-gifted that t-shirt now, so. Which, by the way, re-gifting is so much fun. We're at the staff Christmas party this past Friday night at our house, and so I was looking around, I was memorizing what everybody, because we did a white elephant gift, and I memorized all the gifts, because I know if I get re-gifted that pressure cookie, Roddy, that you got, I'll know that that was a re-gift. Pastor Lacey, if I get an egg sandwich maker, I'll know that that was a re-gift. So now some of the gifts that were exchanged, I will not be getting because they're already consumed. There were Starbucks coffee cards and whatnot. But in the season that we're in, I want to just connect with you because God gave me a context that I feel like is really important for how we approach this season, because there's a chance if we get this, it'll change a little bit of how we actually live. Or if we just let it go by, it'll be, 45, 46, 47. It'll just be another Christmas. But I believe God wants to, before we get too deeply into the Christmas season, to pull us up this morning and say, hey, before you just plow into another Christmas season, it's a cultural autopilot for you. Let's revisit what Christmas is really about. Let's take a look at it, because it is the season of what something that God's doing, but it's just really, really important that we capture what God's really working on so we're aligned with it and we're not just thinking about 'tis the season and miss the point. Amen? So let's open in prayer and start the message. We're preaching, right, Pastor Landry? At some point, you got to preach when you're up here. Father, thank you for being so good to us. This morning, Lord, we lean in to hear your voice. Not so much just to hear the syllables. We want to have the encounter. We want to hear the sound of your insight colliding with our awareness in such a way that the concussion actually makes an impact and a difference. We're asking, God, that you would remove the blinders that we have allowed to be established in our life that keeps us from seeing who you are and what you're doing in new and fresh ways. And we pause the rhythm of the cadence of the normal and the usual so that we can really hear what you're saying. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We'll be quick to align our obedience with you so we can apply what you're sharing with us. And we thank you in advance for what you do with your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen. All right. So today I'm bringing a message called The Two Arrivals of Christ. And the first arrival we've celebrated for many, many years, Christmas. When we say 'tis the season, for most people, in majority parts of the world, we think of Christmas, and with some degree of familiarity, there is an association with the birth of Christ that we celebrate. How many of you know that for most people, that's still true? And so in the context of that, it's refreshing to revisit the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and all those things. But what I want to do today is compare and contrast his two arrivals, because really his first arrival as the baby that he did to open a season of something that we're living in now is really a grand setup for something that's going to happen at some point in the future. And we don't know exactly when that is, but there'll be a second arrival. And these two arrivals are made by the same one, Jesus, but they're in two distinctly different modes and for two distinctly different reasons. And so to that end, I want to talk about the season we're in so that we don't let this season go by and miss the season. Amen? So most people don't know that there are more scriptures about his second coming than his first. So what we're going to do today is lean in and talk about the first and second comings so that we see the difference between the two and allow his voice to begin to register something in us that will make a difference for how we live today. My intention is this. I intend to walk out of this building different than I walked in. And I'm counting on God's voice to do that. Now, I've got a series of notes. I'm prepared for this message. You're prepared. You would not be here unless you're prepared to listen. You would not be tuned in online unless you're prepared to listen to something God's saying. But there's a chance that we could listen and still miss the impact of what God wants to share with us. So please don't just hear and go, good job. I hope you say good job. If I don't do a good job, at least lie to me a little bit. Say good job. But what you're really listening for is the sound of his voice. Because when it's all been said and done, usually a lot more is said than done. And so we don't want to just hear syllables that impress us. We want to actually let God make a difference. So let's jump into this. On the night when Jesus was crucified, he said to his disciples something in John chapter 14. We're going to start with this. Second part of verse 2 and verse 3 in the New Living Translation, it says, I am going to heaven to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me. I love how Jesus gives us insight. He basically says to them, I'm actually about to leave, but I'm going to go do something that my being here won't let me do. I'm going to go there to prepare a place so that when I come back, it'll be ready for you. So in the context of two arrivals, I want to look at four physical differences and two purpose differences, and let's let the Holy Spirit begin to work something in us. The first physical difference is this. The first time his arrival happened very slowly. Slowly, everyone say slowly. Now, I've never had a baby, but my wife has had one. And it took a full 9 months for that baby to arrive. So his first arrival was in the form of a baby, and it happened very slowly. And all the ladies in the house who've had a baby are really grateful that that happened very slowly. It took a full 9 months, and he came in that form. Let me ask you, why do you suppose God actually chose to come and give his message to us in the form of arriving as a baby? Well, first of all, his message was to us, not cows, not birds, reptiles. So he arrived in our form, but he arrived in the form of a baby. You know why? Because he had a message to share that is in the context of love. Nobody's scared of a baby. Everybody's open to a baby. Does that make sense? So in this context, it was announced in Luke chapter 1, verses 31, 34, and 37. It was announced to Mary. He says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel said in verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. So many messages, but the point I want to make here is God was basically saying, this is going to be a miraculous intervention, divine conception. This is going to be a miracle, a one-off miracle I'm going to do one time in humanity. I'm going to actually make my entrance in the form of a baby, and I've chosen you. It was a miracle. But even though it was a miracle, it still took 9 months. He still took a long time coming in his first arrival. Amen? The next time, write this down, his arrival will happen instantly. His arrival will happen instantly. So the first time he came in the form of a baby and it took a long time to get here. The second time his arrival will happen instantly. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first part of verse 52 in the Living says, and it will happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Folks, that's fast. Listen to the other context I want to share with you this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. It says, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly. Everyone say unexpectedly. Like a thief in the night. In other words, the first time he came slowly. After I'm laughing a little bit at what I just did. I caught myself and corrected my grammar. You know why? Because my three-year-old caught me about 3 or 4 months ago and said, I told her, hey, Tori, lay that down slow. She goes, it's slowly, Dad. I'm scared. The thought of doing homework with my second daughter is just going to be terrifying. Slowly he arrived the first time, but the second time without warning and quickly. Think about this. What did we just read? For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. He's working on an assumption that we know something. He is coming back. He's coming back. Everyone say he's coming back. But it's going to happen unexpectedly, which means there's not going to be an indication that he's coming. It's just going to happen. Just going to happen. Luke chapter 12 reads this way, verse 39. Of course, if they knew ahead of time the hour of their master's appearing, they would be alert, just as they would be ready if they knew ahead of time that the thief was coming to break in their house. Notice a thief does not send you a text, hey, I'm about to break in. In 30 minutes, I'll be there. Make sure you're not there. Please leave the 30-06 out where I can get to it easily and all your gold and silver too. The thief never does that. Why? Because he's counting on the fact, or she. Sometimes it's the she that are really sneaky too. So guys get a bad rap, but it's not just guys. You know, girls do this too. But the point, I don't know if that was from experience, we know that or not. We're just going to let that one go. No, I know you've seen some movies, Rowdy. You saw the CSI special. That's okay. I got it. But the thief doesn't just say, hey, I'll be there. The thief's counting on our unawareness to show up. And there is something about God's return that's going to be like that too. No one knows the day or the hour, but it can happen at any time. So the first physical difference between the two arrivals of Christ, one was it was very slow. He arrived slowly. The second, and it was announced. The angel told Mary, hey, this is happening. The second time he's coming, it will not be announced. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be very fast. All right, the second physical difference is this. The first time he arrived, his arrival was very quiet. Everyone say quiet. In fact, one of our favorite Christmas carols is called Silent Night. Should we sing it real quick? Come on, just for fun, let's warm up the pipes. Ready? Silent night. Okay, you get a pass. I'm not going to make you sing the whole thing. But the basic idea, so I got mocked a little bit from the last time I sang Joyful, Joyful, which I won't do again, but I did watch the movie just for fun. The first time was silent night. He was born in Bethlehem, to a little village of about 300 people. The reason we say it was silent is because while the angels did make an announcement to a certain group of shepherds, the whole world basically was oblivious to his arrival. It did not make any waves. And it was a little town, and there was no Instagram around. Nobody did a story about it. It was just written in the scripture. I'm having so much fun in my own mind this morning. This is just awesome. Listen to how God announced it through the angels to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. For my whole life, I've often focused on the fact that the scripture is pointing out the fact that we're going to find him wrapped snugly in cloths lying in a manger. Until it dawned on me that he was saying, you're going to find him. It's not going to be obvious. You find him in Bethlehem. Now, the reality is, in that era of town, Bethlehem was not that big. It's a little village of about 300 people. So it's not that big to begin with. But the angels gave him a pointer and said, here's where the village is going to be at. Here's what you're looking for. Why? Because there's no GPS. There's no social media to announce the herald. Excuse me a second. Oh, there's no cool way to do that. You just have to clear your throat, right? So they had to give him clues of how to go find the Savior. Now, to their benefit, number one, it was a pretty small village. Number two, there's probably not that many babies lying in mangers in a village of that size. So it was going to probably be pretty obvious when they got there. But the point of it is, his arrival didn't make a big splash to the world. The angels had to come and tell a certain group of people, hey, here's how you go find him. Why? Because it didn't make a big splash. It happened quietly. However, the next time, the whole earth is going to hear it. Write that down. The next time, the whole earth will hear it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet call of God. In other words, it won't be silent. It's going to be ear-shattering, earth-shattering. It's going to be known to everyone. So we're just looking at the different arrivals of Christ and allowing the Lord to get our hearts set up for something I think he wants us to be aware of towards the end of this message. So the first physical difference was his first arrival was slow. The second one is it was fast. The next physical difference was the first arrival was quiet. The second one was loud. Here's the third physical difference. The first time a single star was seen in the sky. The first time a single star was seen in the sky. We know this because we see here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. We know this is the Magi, or the three wise men. We say there's three. We don't know actually how many there were, but because of the three gifts, we associate them with three. So every Christmas card you see has three people on camels, and so we say three wise men, and it's okay. Hallmark's got to put something on those cards, right? If you think about it, there was a single star that just a few people were looking for. Again, most of the world had no idea, but a few people recognized the star. So his first arrival, a single star was seen in the sky. The next time, Jesus will light up the entire sky when he arrives. His second arrival is going to be completely different than his first one. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 27 in the Amplified. For it says, just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will the coming in glory of the Son of God, the Son of Man, everyone will see him clearly. In other words, what's he saying? You've been outside at night and seen a flash of lightning and heard the thunder. Even if you don't see it directly, you see everything light up around you, right? So that's what he's saying. I'm going to light the whole sky up. Everyone's going to see it. In other words, it will be unmistakable. Now, I'm going to get here in just a moment, but I feel impressed to say there's a reason we're methodically going through why the first and second arrivals are different. The first arrival, very little announcement, very, very, very subdued arrival, very long, very drawn out, very under the radar kind of feeling. The second one, very abrupt, very unanticipated, but very clear. And there's a reason why there's a contrast between these two arrivals. And it has to do with the season that we're in right now. So it's not just an interesting study of the different arrivals he's going to make. There's a reason for it. So I've got one more of these to cover. Then we're going to look at some purpose stuff. But I do want to just clue your spirit into the fact that there's a reason that we're looking at these two arrivals. And it's not just for more knowledge. There's something God wants to stir our hearts with this morning. The last physical difference is this. The first time he came, only a few people honored him. The first time he came, only a few people honored him. In the scriptures, we see that the first time that he came, we only see that the shepherds and wise men honored, honored him. We recognize that just a small group of people actually honored him. In fact, the scripture goes on to say in John 1:11, it says, he came to his own people and even they rejected him. I'm just pausing here for a moment to let that sink in on us. It's possible, in fact, it's historically happened, that the creator of the world would make an entrance and it would be ignored and he would be rejected. Since it's historically proven that that is, in fact, the case, how easy would that be for us to be aware of the fact and still ignore the reality? My intention this morning is to pull us all up and really look at this together, because if we're aware of the fact and still reject the reality, then we're making choices with our insight that we're going to be accountable for. So Christmas is significant in so many ways. It's substantial in the fact that Jesus is making an empirically, emphatically, irresistibly, irretractably big statement to say, hey, I came, and I came for a reason. You're going to know about it. You're going to be accountable for it. You get the blessing for it if you align yourself with the season you're in right now, which is why 'tis the season, I'm hoping, has a stickier context than what we're typically thinking of when we say that. So the first time he came, only a few people honored him. But the next time he comes, everyone is going to honor him. Everyone. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Did you hear the word every? Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. Okay, I'm going to just go slowly through this part. Now think about this for a moment. We've looked at four different arrivals. We've talked about four second sets of arrivals. The first arrival is one that people can choose to ignore, and throughout history have chosen to ignore to some degree. In some parts of our lives today, we may be choosing to ignore it. But there'll be a moment where his second return is clear. And God is saying, at that moment, regardless of how you felt about him before that moment, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee. Now think about this. Just for a moment, give yourself permission to think. Social media, news, give yourself permission to think, entertainment. Give yourself permission to see three or four or five faces that you know for a fact, if you had to give an appraisal of where they are with God, that they are ignoring God. Politicians, dictators, criminals. I'm talking about categories of people. I'm not saying all politicians are those. For those of you that were wondering, I wasn't specifically saying that. Although some of them may, I don't know, but the point... That's a misdirect. Come on back. I'm just seeing if you're still awake. But my point is, give yourself permission to actually see some faces and say, I can't actually judge that, but by looking at the fruit of everything they say, do, and live for, it would seem as if they're ignoring Jesus as Lord. Got a few pictures? I'm not going to ask you who they are, but what I want you to do is see what we just read. That there will be a moment when he comes back the second time, every one of their knees are going to hit the ground. Involuntarily, they will confess and acknowledge that he is Lord. Here's the challenge. In that season, it won't make an eternal difference. In this season, it will. 'Tis the season. Now, it's really, really good news what God's saying to us, in part because we're in this season. And I want you to hear this in the context of God's love for us. Not that we're terrified of his judgment. It's coming, and he wants us to know that. And it's okay for us to be aware of that, or he wouldn't have told us. But the compelling and motivating dynamic of what this season is love. God loves people. He loves people that are completely jacked up. I mean, really messed up. He loves people that would revile you and me. He loves them. People that we would run the other way from if we saw him coming, he's running to them. This is the season he's running to people. This season is all about his loving kindness and his redemption. That's why he came as a baby. He came as a baby to save us. So I want to look at two purpose differences, but before we get there, I just want to acknowledge that he is making two entrances before history's done. One of them is understated. You had to find him. You had to look for him. It didn't make a big splash. He was rejected. But it's because he was opening a season where his motive was love. The second one is going to be compelling. In other words, there is no choice after the second coming. Right now, there is a season to choose. After the second coming, the choices won't make a difference. Everyone's going to be compelled to say, Jesus is Lord. Kind of a freebie, but knowing doctrine and Christian knowledge in Scripture is no guarantee of being right with God. God tells us in his scriptures, even the demons know his scripture and tremble. But their fate is sealed. So we're in this interesting season where God is saying, I made an entrance. I punctuated time with my presence to start a season, an era of redemption, an era where my loving kindness can be on display, where my redemption can be experienced and can be reflected from one person to the next by virtue of the story of what I've done in your life. That's the season we're in. There's another season coming, and I want you to know about it so that you're ready for that season, because if you remember, one of the messages that the angel said to the shepherds was, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, for unto you is born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. In other words, God is saying the season is a good season. It's really, really important to get the season, that you hear the season, that you know the season, that you receive the season so you can live the season. Why? Because there will be a day where you're going to confess the season whether you lived it or not. So let's take a look. Some purpose differences. The first time he came, Jesus came to save the world. Write that down. Jesus came to save the world. John 3:16 says it this way, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's one of the most popularly known scriptures in all of human history. But knowing it's not the same as living it. Knowing it's not the same as living it. The first time he came to save the world. The second time he comes, it'll be to judge the world. The first time he came, little baby, tender, crying. You know the sound of a baby that's just hours old when they cry? It's just the most tender, heart-warming, heart-wrenching sound. You just want to do everything you can to figure out what can I do to help this little helpless little thing. And like 2 years later, those same vocal cords issue a different type of cry, and it's like, oh my God. But the infant part, remember that part? Like right now, we have a 3-year-old and she's uttering cries. They don't sound like they did when she was just months old. But think about that just for a moment. Jesus coming as a baby. Josh, you're experiencing something right now. I can feel it. I'm with you. I feel you. But think about that. That sound. That look. You know when they cry and they open their mouth and you can just see they're crying, but the sound's not coming out yet, and then you just and then it comes out and it's so pitiful. And you can't help yourself, you just love it. Even when you're not sleeping. That's how he came. The second time, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Flashing the whole sky, piercing the darkness. His arrival will be unmistakable, and it will not engender sound, the warm and fuzzy feelings for the majority of people who at that point have not confessed his lordship. The first time he came to redeem, save the world. The second time he's coming to judge. I want to be careful in this at this juncture to not pull the terror lever of God's love, of God's reality, excuse me. He is coming to judge, and it will be terrible for people who reject him. I do want to be clear about that. It will be terrible. But the season we're in now is not terror. The season we're in now is love. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's the fact that God loves us. That's the season we're in. And it's this season we get to make the choice. This is the season we get to make the choice. How will we live? Will we live up on plane and just keep putting stories up? Nothing wrong with stories, nothing wrong with posts. But if we're living for the posts and living for the stories or living through the stories or creating an artificial life that's not real, we're just part of the cultural background. How will we live? What choice will you choose to actually receive what God's love is intended to do? See, God's love is a gift to you. That's one of the reasons why I love the fact that his birth is contextualized against the backdrop of Christmas, where we exchange gifts, because that's really what God said, I'm coming to do, and I want to give you a gift. Growing up, unboxing used to mean something different. We unboxed at Christmas, and it was like the fastest you can just rip everything apart and get to the good stuff. Now there's whole videos of carefully opening this, taking off this little piece of styrofoam, and oh look, there's an owner's manual. Oh my gosh. But let me just unbox something for you just for a moment. See, all in one big context, all of this is true. There is a judgment that's coming. But the season we're in right now is not about the judgment. It's coming. And in his kindness, he's saying, this is coming, but here's what this season's for. See, I came to enter your life and actually bring healing to the parts of you that desperately need hope and healing. See, our Father in heaven knows where we are, knows who we are, knows what we need. We don't see each other that way. We look at each other and we either tend to like the way each other presents, or we're like, nah, whatever. Not my style. God looks at you and his posture is running to you. Not to force righteousness on you as if it's a code of conduct that he approves of, but he's running to you to bring healing to you, to bring deliverance to you, to bring hope to you. And he wants you to know that his directions, his directives, his guidelines in scripture about sins to avoid or those kinds of things are not because he wants you to avoid having fun in life and whatnot. He just knows what devastates your soul and you haven't learned how to recognize it yet. See, when we're three, I realize a lot of my references are three, and maybe I should start saying five. But we want candy, and we want more, and we want more. We don't know when or how to stop, except at some point we start throwing up. And what was so good on the initial experience becomes a repulsive experience. Does that make sense? Our Father knows exactly how life works. So he says, I know the distortions of the mindsets all around you. I know the outcomes of what happens if you don't forgive one another. I know the outcomes of what happens if you envy each other. I know the outcomes of what happens if you don't experience healing. I know the outcomes of what happens if you choose to go with that mindset about your identity. I know the outcomes that go with all these things. I know where that leads, and you don't want it. So I'm going to tell you, this is how I want you to live. Not because I don't want you to have fun. I want you to realize how to be whole. That's what this season is about. The significance of Christmas is not the Hallmark holiday. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to wrap gifts. It's okay to celebrate those kinds of things. But the gift of the season that we're celebrating is the gift of God's love for us that is actually life and eternity changing. And it was marked by his first entrance that he came to save the world and give us the ability to choose. God, will I receive you, your word, your spirit, and your way? Will I receive that? Or will I be aware of that gift and let it sit there and ignore it? So this morning, for every person in this building and for every person listening online right now, and for those of you that are listening 3 years from now, what I want you to know is God is giving us a gift in this season. Tis the season to experience and receive his loving kindness and his redemption. That's what this season is for. A clear expression of what his intent for you is. So you can choose to receive that. Hear the word choose? Nobody can choose it for you. You have to choose to receive it. The gift is here. The gift is here. You may set it on the ground and go, I acknowledge the gift. I know about the gift. I can describe the gift. But I've not accepted the gift. I don't use the gift. It's not part of my life. It's just there. This season, tis the season, this season is about receiving the gift. Living the gift. That's what this season is about. And the season was introduced by his first coming and what he did with his life. We'll celebrate around the Easter season of what he did with the sacrifice of his life. But the first season was opened when he arrived as a baby to start this season of redemption in humans' history. That's the season you're in now. You guys just have a couple more minutes? But God loves us enough to tell us a message in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. It says, God has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. He has already appointed the judge, confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. Obviously, he's referring to Jesus. Obviously, he's referring to Jesus. Let me tell you what I love about... That seems like there's one thing I love about this. I love lots of things about the scripture we just read. But listen, let me read it one more time. God has set a day when the entire human race will be judged and everything set right. Everyone say everything set right. There will be a day when everything is set right. There will be a day when everything is set right. One of the things that vexes us about the season we're in right now, and you'll hear people ask this question, if God is real and he's love and he's all powerful, then why is there evil in the world? That is a great multidimensional question. We're going to do some series next year called Know Why. We're going to get into some of those kinds of things. But for today, let me just get to one facet of that issue. We're experiencing the repercussions of choice in the context of many people around us who are also living their lives, experiencing and expressing choice. Do you see it? For love to be love, it has to be chosen, which means God can't create us to experience our loving relationship and then demand us to love him back. That's called being a robot. Does that make sense? In order for that relationship to be a relationship of true love, we have to choose to love him back. That choice, a free choice, means we can choose the other dynamic as well. And right now we live in a very fluid expression and experience where people all around us are in different phases of understanding what free choice means. And we all live downstream of other people's choices all around us. Does that make sense? So today's pedophile who technically gets away from it because he found a great lawyer, or she found a great lawyer, may seem like he's or she's getting away with it. But you know what the scripture says? There's a day coming when God will set everything right. And I'm saying this in the context of the experience we all have. There's some things that have happened to me that if I don't walk in God's redemption, will devastate and destroy me. Perpetrated on me by individuals who are downstream of choices that they made because of pain and distortion in their life that they now are in a different season for. But in the moment of that transgression, my life was wrecked. So I'm not preaching out of an ivory palace that have never been touched by pain and torture and torment. I have. But one of the gifts God gives us is the ability to say, that's part of something that happened to you, but that is not you. Let me say this. God deals with you right here, right now. And part of the way we're free to receive his goodness in this moment is knowing that the justice part of... I'm going to freestyle for a second. Do you know why we get so indignant about injustice? Because we're made in his image. Cows do not feel injustice. Fish don't feel injustice. We feel injustice because we're made in his image. We know when it's right and when it's wrong. Cows can't. They're not made in his image. And I'm saying this for a reason. I want to give you a handle to hold on to, because there are some of us in here in this room today and watching online today that are stalled in life and have left a door open to darkness to feed the poison of unforgiveness into our soul over and over and over, because we're stuck on this idea: if God was so big and love and all powerful, why couldn't he stop that from happening to me? I don't know who you are, and it doesn't matter that I don't know. What I want you to know is your Father knows. And he's also wanting to let you know that there is a way that you can experience complete healing and freedom by what he's already done, watch this, and what he's going to do. So there'll be a moment that everything that has happened to you by every perpetrator ever is going to be set right. It's going to be set right. That's a gift to you. So he wants you to listen carefully. I don't know who this is for. It could be for more than one person, so listen carefully. He's telling you today, you can let that go. You can let that go. I'll make that right. I'll make that right. Now, here's the other side of that. Every one of us in here right now going, shoot. Because I'm the perpetrator too. Right? Is that right? Because it's like, it's all good when it's like, yeah, God's going to get you. Fry, baby. I hope I get this ringside seat. I want to see your buns on fire. Until it dawns on you, oh, rats, I'm in the same boat. Maybe a different issue, maybe a different sin, but I'm exactly the same guilt. Maybe a different category, but the same guilt. And God said, guess what? I've got a gift for you too. Because when I came as a baby, I started the season of redemption by completing that particular part of my journey in human history, in human life, by dying on the cross so I could actually set that right. So we're in this season right now that I don't know how long it's going to last, but we're given the ability to choose. We're given the ability to choose. But it's imperative that we choose to receive the gift. Because there's going to be a day when he sets it right and then renders a judgment. Renders a judgment. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 8 reads this way, New Century Version. God will reward or punish every person for what that person has done. Some people, always continuing to do good, live for God's glory, for honor, and for a life that has no end. God will give them life forever. But other people who are selfish, they refuse to follow truth. And instead follow evil. God will give them his punishment in anger. So, I better draw this up and come in for a landing on this, but the season we're in right now, you guys, is unique. God wants you to know if you're stuck on the issue of what's happened to you, he'll make that right. If you're stuck on the issue of what you've done and you feel guilt for, he wants you to know he'll make that right. In other words, we're in this unique season where he's got both ends of the spectrum covered with his righteousness. And we get to choose. And for so long, and for so many people, this choice has come down to looking like a religion that's foisted onto people to control their lifestyle. And God's saying, please set that idea aside. I'm just trying to give you life. So as far as the first purpose difference, the first time he came, Jesus came to save the world. The second, next time he comes, he's coming to judge the world. Let me give you one more purpose difference. The first time Jesus came, he came to die for our sins. I love this. I kind of got ahead of myself a minute ago. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says this. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. Let me point out a couple of verses. Leave that up there just for a second. The scripture says his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. Unchanging plan. Let that sink in on you just for a moment. Unchanging plan. In other words, before time began, he had already had his mind on you. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his family. You know, adoption is a powerful picture. It's a picture of a person who's not a part of a family, who's on the outside. But the picture is the authority structure of that family says, we want you in this family. You can't get into this family unless we adopt you in. You can't just force your way into our family. But what we can do is open our hearts to you and say, we want you in this family. Which gives you the choice then to say, then I want to be in that family. And in most cases, except infant adoptions, but in most cases, a person who's choosing to be adopted acknowledges, I'm not part of that family, but I want to be a part of that family. So when I see the offer to be a part of that family, I choose to say yes to that family. Then I become a part of that family. And now watch this carefully. It's as if I were blood born into that family. I get all the identity, all the benefits, everything that goes with being that part of that family. That's what God's saying. It's always been my plan to adopt you into my family. What's important to realize here is every person, every male, every female, every person that's created on this earth is made in the image of God, but they're not all in the family of God. being in the family of God is a reflection of a choice that we make to accept what He's done and welcome Him into our life that brings us into His family. Do you understand that? I love the last part of that verse. He did this because He wanted to. I wore Huskies growing up. My brother wore Slims. If you were standing up here beside me today, I still wear Huskies. He still wears Slims. He's about 5 inches taller than I am. He's much better looking than I am. And he always got picked for basketball before I got picked. I was like a tornado on the basketball court. I fouled out every game. I couldn't shoot very well. The consequence is I always got chose last. I'm still in therapy over it. I hate the feeling of not being wanted. I want to end this message by letting you know God desperately wants you. His gift to you is saying, listen, I won't reject you. Right now, you've got a litany of thoughts in your mind about why you feel like I won't accept you. But I'm going out of my way. My gift to you today is to let you know that regardless of everything that's in your mind right now, all the reasons why you think I won't reject you, I won't accept you, but I'll reject you. Right now, I want you to know, stop all of that. I want you. I want you. I want you. The first time Jesus came, He came to die for our sins. The next time He comes, He's coming to gather His family. The next time He comes, He's coming to gather His family. Matthew 24:31 says, He will use a loud trumpet to send His angels all around the earth, and they will gather His chosen people from every part of the world. Sometimes when you're working to understand big ideas, there are elements of that that seem to compete with each other. So I want to acknowledge the difficulty of resolving this tension, but it's true at the same time. God loves every person and has extended the gift of eternity and salvation to every person. He desires every person that none should perish, but have everlasting life. And at the same time, says you're going to choose to accept or reject that. So when He comes for His chosen people, it's not that He's up there choosing, I'll take you, I'll take you, I'm not going to take you. I'll take you, not you. That's not how the chosen works. The chosen is a reflection of people who have recognized what He's done and chosen to accept it. Does that make sense? His chosen is a reflection of both choices, which is, again, one of the gifts we have in this season. Tis the season. This is the season. Please do not reject God. Please don't reject Him. All right, Lord. So how do we live? Let me give you just a couple of thoughts that we're going to wrap this up. Matthew 24, verse 42 in the New Living Translation says this, so you too must keep watch or stay prepared and be ready, for you don't know what day the Lord is coming. I want to just wrap up this message by saying this is the season we're in, but the other bookend is coming. There's a start to this season, but there is an end to the season too. It's it's not always going to be this mode. So live with the knowledge that that one's coming. Live in this season for that season. Live looking for that one. Live looking for that one. Titus chapter 2 verses 12 and 13 says this: God's grace teaches us not to live against God, nor to do the evil things the world wants to do. Instead, that grace teaches us to live in the present age in a wise and right way, and in a way that shows we serve God. We should live like that while we wait for our great hope and the coming of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. What's he saying? Live now with that in mind. Live now with that in mind. Let me give you a practical way of picturing this. Whatever you're doing or saying, whatever you're doing or saying, if he came on the second coming while you were mid-sentence or mid-action, would you choose to say or do that? I'm trying to give a message in a sentence. He's coming again. His first arrival was basically starting a season and setting us up for the second one. How do we live in this season? We live for that one. Let's accept the gift, live the gift for that one. How do we practically do that? Practically, if I could take 45 or 50 minutes of message and bring it down into a practical sentence, I would say this: accept the gift. Live right now with that one in mind. How do you do that? Answer this question. If he came while I was saying this, or if he came while I was doing this, would I say and would I do that? That may change the conversations I have. It may change the tone of my voice with my wife or my daughters. It may change the tone of my conversation with staff or unbelievers or any number of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I live with that in mind, if he came while I was saying or doing this, would I choose to be saying or doing this? Would you ingest what you're about to ingest? Would you watch what you're about to watch? Would you answer that Facebook direct message that way? Would you click on that? Would you go there? Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, just about the time you're ready to make the choice, I'm going to do or say this, ask yourself, if he came while I was doing or saying, would I do or say? That's a pretty good way to live in this season for what's coming. Not legalistic, but just the acknowledgement. Hey, he's coming. Do I want him to walk in on this conversation I'm about to have? Do y'all see it? Why? Because Philippians 3 says it this way: our true home is heaven, where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak and mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Lastly, I've got one more scripture. You got time for one more scripture? 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I love, love, love this scripture. The Lord is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but wants all people to change their hearts and lives. Why? Because that's the season we're in. The season we're in is to receive his love, forgiveness, and redemption for us. And, everyone say and, reflect that to everybody around us. In other words, would you receive Jesus and would you be Jesus in this season? Why? It's the season. To live any other way is foolish. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. Your kindness, your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your truth, it's just amazing to us. Thank you for the insight, the ahas, the revelations, the thoughts, the things we'll take with us. God, I'm leaving different than I came. And I want to say thank you for that. Lord, don't let me let this season be one more Christmas season. Let me be mindful of what it really means. It was the opening of a new season. that your loving kindness was on display, that your eternal gift of selfless redemption through Jesus, what he did for us, living a sinless life and dying on the cross to pay for our sins. Let me be mindful of that in new and fresh ways. And then God, let me choose to reflect that to others around me and extend to them the same loving kindness you extend to me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me just say to those of you in this room and you know that you actually need to say yes to Jesus. You need to actually accept the gift. You know about the gift. It's sitting at your feet. It's been there for 3 years, or it's been there for 18 years, or it's been there for 25 years. It's time for you to accept it. Accepting it means, Lord, forgive me for living against you, for living sinfully my own way. I accept you, I accept what you did, and I'm choosing to submit and surrender my life to you, to live the rest of my life in relationship with you and for you by the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit. If that's where you're at, you're ready to move out from under the crushing guilt of condemnation, the terrible loneliness and isolation of sin, and the devastation of knowing that you're not walking in relationship with God. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, then I'm going to ask that you would say this prayer after me. Ready? Let's say it together. Heavenly Father, come on everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sin. Thank you for helping make that right. Thank you for the offer of that gift. Today I choose to accept that gift by asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today I'm giving my life to you. No turning back. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Give me the strength I need to live for Jesus the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody said? Amen. Hey, 'tis the season, everybody.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.